We left off with Ezekiel 28 and verse 12b through 17, and we're talking about the fall of the Nahash, the serpent, most of the time called the devil. But it says, "You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you," and then it goes through a list of nine here. Now, if you read the Septuagint, it goes through a list of 12, and they are the 12 stones that are on the breastplate of the high priest. So you see that this is a very high-ranking Elohim. "Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the days of old, you were created." And then we have this important word, "until wickedness was found in you. And through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. You were corrupted, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before the kings." This is describing the fall of HaSatan, if you want to call it that. And so we're use this here for the Elohim small e, as opposed to the Elohim capital E. Now in Hebrew, remember, there's no big letters and little letters, so you have to use the context. But this started because of Psalm 82, where it said Elohim will judge Elohim. And so Elohim, one true God, judging Elohim, small e, gods that have rebelled against him. So that is the deal there. In Isaiah 14, 12, it says, "You have fallen from heaven, shining one." This is one of the titles that Yeshayahu uses for the evil one. "You have been cast down to the earth. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God," which is the other Elohim, most likely. "I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly." Remember, Psalm 82 started with "in the assembly of God." "And I will make myself as the Most High." And so there is the evil deal. "I will make myself as the one true Most High God, Hashem." But then it says, "But you will be brought down to the grave." That's in that's relating to the judgment in Psalm 82. That is God is judging the Elohim small e. Okay, so that's where we were. The pride and rebellion of a heavenly being, one of the Elohim. And so he's called the Shining One. And it says that he is above the stars of God. And so he may well have been the leader of all of the Elohim, small e. And in that Ezekiel verse, there's the verse there that people use to say, "Your settings and mountings were made of gold." That is the verse that people use to say that HaSatan was a musician leading the praise and worship in heaven. The words there in Hebrew have been lost, and so it's a subjective hermeneutic, but it may well be true that those refer to musical instruments. But you can't say that for sure. But he is definitely one of the main, if not the leader of all of the Elohim in heaven, in God's assembly, his great court there. So he's called the Shining One, and he's above the rest of them in the divine council. And wanted to raise his throne above all of them and sit as the Most High. And so that that is what we would call today a heavenly coup. You have somebody in your group that tries to overthrow your government. And that's what he did, the Shining One did. But it says in Isaiah 14, but his end is Sheol, which is refers to the grave, the temporary place of grave. Okay, so verse 9, Sheol is getting excited to meet you. That's in Isaiah 14, but it says in verse 9 that the grave, Sheol, the place of the dead until the judgment, is excited, getting excited to meet you. And it's a way of God and the anointing to show the intensity of this sin, and the judgment is excited to get you, type of thing. And it says in verse 12, fallen, cut down to the eretz, the ground, the depth of the pit. So that is the fall of the evil Elohim. And so in Genesis 3:15, we have the war between the seeds. A descendant of Eve would someday undo the damage done by Nahash's rebellion. And the Nahash knew that God, by getting Adam and Eve into sin, the Nahash, the serpent, the devil, knew that God would have to give death to the humans because of that. And so he thought that at the fall in the garden that he had just eliminated half of his competition, the human half, because now they'll be dead and we can just go back to ruling the angels in heaven and trying to overthrow the Most High's throne. So anyway, that didn't happen. Death did come, but their seed would continue. And so the Nahash taught that death would eliminate them, but it did not. And so he also would have his seed. Remember in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And then the serpent has seed also. So you have two seeds now, and you have a war. The seed of the woman would eventually bring redemption to the universe, and the seed of the serpent would try to stop the redemption. And that's the war that we're still in today, caused by an Elohim in God's counsel. So the war starts, and you have the followers of Hashem, and you have the followers of the serpent, and you have some both human and angelic on both sides of the war. So we have good Elohim with us fighting the evil Elohim and his followers, which last week we called Democrats. See, now Mike will talk like that today, and that's why I said if he doesn't get locked up. I shouldn't say that because it gets taped and it might end up in court someday. Eventually, though, it will be the Nahash that dies. Not the followers of Hashem, not the seed of the woman, but it will be the devil that dies. So in Genesis 3, chapter 3 then tells us why we need a Savior is because of the sin. And it tells us why we die because of the sin. But it also tells us that the plan will prevail. It just doesn't prevail instantly. We are still in the plan, but it's coming to its final. It's a climax in our day. And that's when you say, oh, man. But how long has it been? It's been nearly 6,000 years. So now, having seen the background of God's counsel and the expansion on earth, he wanted to have a kingdom on earth. But remember, the kingdom on earth to represent him would not be created Elohim. It would be man created in his image. And so this is one of the reasons I think the devil was jealous of man's plan, is because the devil is not in God's image. Tselem. And we are. So we were created a little lower than the angels because we're not supernatural. But we are created in God's image for love relationship. And so special, lower, but all more special, if I can say it that way. You know what I mean. So we can go to Bereshit Shesh, which is Genesis 6, and the sons of Elohim now. So you have the devil, and you have the fall, and we have the sons of Elohim and B'nai Elohim. And so this leads us to the popular topic in these last days of the Nephilim. And the music comes up, do-do-do, and the lights go dim, and do-do-do-do-do, And I think there was a Nephilim came to the door the other night. with a bag wanting candy. I know there was one on the neighbor's porch because the thing was 9 feet tall. Anyway, when the men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, now this is the B'nai Elohim word, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and they married and any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he was mortal. His days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and so afterwards. And so also afterward is an important phrase here. When men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. These are Giborim. And so the Lord saw how great the wickedness on the earth became. And this sets up Noah's flood. So, but Genesis 6, it's not taught on a lot because it's just too far out there. It sounds crazy. And most teachers avoid it. But it is supernatural. There were supernatural beings on earth created by Elohim and human women. And they had kids, for crying out loud. And what they created were the giants and the supermen. And so this is where it gets weird. And so you don't hear this on street corner churchianity most Sundays. Peter and Jude say the same thing, though. If we want to go to the Brit Hadashah, 2 Peter says, I have this somewhere here. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to Tartarus in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, Jude 6 says the angels who did not keep their position of authority but left their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with chains for judgment on the great day. And so the New Testament writers in the Brit Hadashah reference this situation that happened way back in about page 5 of your Bible. So this information partially comes from the book of 1st Enoch, which is not part of our Bible. It's not considered inspired, but it is quoted by writers of the New Testament. And so the writers, the first century writers, the apostles, and all those guys that wrote the Brit Hadashah, knew 1st Enoch and considered it reliable, or they wouldn't have quoted it, because when they quoted it, then it becomes inspired in our book, right? And 1st Enoch may be inspired, it just wasn't canoned, because there wasn't really anything in it that they seemed was necessary to put in the Bible. Most of it is repetition that's already stuff that's in here. And so it's just considered reliable and just not canon, and you can read it out in the store. But 1st Enoch gives the details of Genesis 6 and in more detail than our Bible does. So here we see that the early church didn't shy away from what we're studying here. They talked about this angelic world, the unseen world of the supernatural beings, and the heavenly council, as Psalm 82 says, the Elohim, the sons of Elohim, the angels, and then the Nephilim. So it was big to them, and maybe should be big to us. It was big to Israel because in their history, their heroes had to fight the giants. Now, we don't have that in our history. Our giants get paid to be in the NBA. And they're heroes, you know, but no, they're not giants. They're just tall people. The giants in Israel's history were like 13 feet tall type people, entities, and very, very scary. I wonder even if it was the Nephilim that built the pyramids, like overnight, because they're supernatural. They're half supernatural. It's just something to think about. I've never been to Egypt, and I don't intend to. But anyway, it's big to the writers of our book. It wasn't until the 4th century under Augustine that different views started to be taught about the Nephilim. And that what he started to teach, that they weren't supernatural, and this is just all metaphorical. There were no giants. It was just the Sethite descendants, just saying that the sons of Elohim, the B'nai Elohim, were just people. They're just cool people. But the ancient heroes of the Greeks and all that philosophy stuff probably was originated from the Nephilim. And so they continued on. Anyway, to say that these beings are not supernatural is false theology. But it is comfortable, because now you can just write it off. And you don't have to talk about it at Keilat Hagigah. So in Peter and Jude, the sin of the angels in Greek, because in the Greek we don't have all these different words that we had in the Hebrew, the watchers and all this, it is a of rebellion and leaving their place, trespassing. So they were in rebellion against Hashem. So the details in Enoch says Tartarus is where they are kept, and that's a word that comes from Enoch, and that's a it's not the Sheol word here. It's as if maybe that fallen angels have a special place that they're kept in darkness, and it, before the judgment comes, just for them. That's in Enoch 6. So when the sons of man multiplied, beautiful daughters were born to them. And the watchers, the sons of heaven, desired them. So here we have Adam and Eve's descendants are making beautiful daughters. And of course they would be beautiful because Adam and Eve is like the perfect creation. And so there's never been time for anything to come in that would keep them from just being absolutely like my wife and stuff. They said, let us take wives from the daughters of men and beget children for ourselves. Now, this is reading from Enoch. And it says these watchers then descended, and it tells you where they descended to the earth at. And that's Mount Hermon, as we say, but it is a het letter. Hermon. So if your name is Hermon, you're saying it wrong. Oh, gosh. Do I have to continue? Can we go to Oneg yet? Okay. The watcher word you remember from last week is what Daniel calls them in Daniel. Okay. So these offspring were giants, and some fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and this is cool. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, it talks about some of this stuff, and it even names two of the fallen Elohim. Gilgamesh and Natseri. Don't name your kids Gilgamesh. It's a fallen angel word. Anybody name their kid that? Okay. The Nephilim word in the Septuagint is Gygas. In the Greek, it's Gygas, which is the word we get from giant. But like Chuck Missler, he said that the word means fallen ones. Well, they're fallen ones and they're giants, so take your pick or just say both. It doesn't matter. It is giants, though, as we know from the word. So when Israel was captive in Babylon during the Babylonian captivity with Daniel, you know what the Jews learned from the Babylonians? And because the Babylonians had the greatest empire on earth at that time and the great sciences of Babel, all of this came from the giants. And the giants polluted the earth with forbidden knowledge. And a lot of it was in the knowledge of warfare. And so Babylon got their fame by being taught by fallen angels, the Elohim small e. So they got divine knowledge from the giants before and after the flood. So the Jews considered these part divine and part human things, which we call Nephilim, as demonic. Demonic things. And so the Jews never wanted to say that they were great. Okay? So in Enoch 8, it says, the watchers corrupted the earth with forbidden knowledge. Forbidden knowledge from the supernatural side. So Babylonia, sciences of evil. And so this is why the context of Peter and Jude that quotes about the Nephilim here, the context that they're writing in is false teachers. And so they bring up these Nephilim because they were forbidden teachers with forbidden knowledge to the earth. So that's why they reference this in Peter and Jude. Okay, so it says they despise authority and blaspheme majestic beings. This is the fall of rebellion in heaven. But Noach was found blameless, as we know. And what blameless means, and in the context, and we went over that in the Genesis teaching years ago, what it means is that he wasn't corrupted. His DNA did not have any angel DNA in it. And so he was found blameless, not that he was found sinless, no, but he was found without angel blood in him. And so that's why he was then kept separate and survived, and God says, I have to destroy the world because the man had been corrupted with the angel blood. Okay, so now and there's an amazing story about Israel here, and I never heard this before, but since we're attached to Israel, this will be relevant to us, and I think we're in Deuteronomy here eventually. But after the flood, we have Nimrod, and he built the Tower of Babel, and Assyria. Okay, so read in Genesis 6:4, the Gibeon, the mighty warriors, and the men of the name, Shem. In Genesis 10:8, Nimrod is called a Gibor, a mighty hunter. Gibor means mighty warrior. From him comes two civilizations, Assyria and Babylon. And so the interesting thing about Nimrod bringing forth Assyria and Babylon is these are the two systems of government that destroyed Israel. Assyria, the northern kingdom, and Babylon, the southern kingdom. And these were both created and promoted by Nimrod, who is, I consider, the worst person who ever lived. Okay, so now Heiser, as you book the book I showed you last week that I got from Joel Richardson, says Nimrod probably means rebellion, but we don't know what it means. So we have Nimrod and the Tower of Babylon, Babel, and so the Tower of Babel was a rebellion against God. God said, spread out and populate the earth. They said, let's get together and make a name for ourselves. Exactly what the angels were doing in heaven, disobeying, in rebellion, esteeming themselves instead of worshiping Hashem. So that is what was going on with Babel, the continuing link to the Nephilim, now after the flood. So there was the flood, and that got rid of all the corrupted human and angel blood, but then it continues after the flood with the Tower of Babel. They wanted to make a name for themselves, just like the Nephilim. So we have this rebellion, and they broke God's commandment. And so in Genesis 11:7, it says, let us go down, plural again, remember as in Genesis 1:1, let us go down and confuse their language. And then it says that God, singular, confused the language. So he's just inviting his council to go with him to confuse the language. He's not saying that God, us, is a whole bunch of gods. It's not polytheism. Okay, and so they went down, singular, God confused the language, and they spread out over the whole earth then, and that's the end of the Bible. Whew. But wait, there's more. Deuteronomy 32, 8 and 9. So this is, this will be interesting. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided up all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the numbers, and your Bible will say the sons of Israel. I think your Bible will say sons of Israel. This is talking about Babel, when God came down and made the nations. Because there was one nation, and they all had one language, so he created 70 nations by creating 70 languages, and this forced them to spread out and make their own countries, okay? And he divided all mankind, and he set up the boundaries for these peoples, and it says, according to the number of the sons of Israel. Now, if you have an NIV study Bible, you will have a footnote, and it will say, it will say this. Let me just read the footnote here. Masoretic text, Dead Sea Scrolls, Septuagint, sons of God. He set up the boundaries according to the number of the B'nai Elohim. not the sons of Israel. Israel didn't exist yet. Abraham's a baby at this time. So how could he set it up according to the sons of Israel? No, he set up all the nations and all the boundaries that he created, all the countries of the earth, he set up according to the Elohim that were going to rule over them. And this is cool because these are small e Elohim, the ones he's judging in Psalm 82 for corrupting the nations that they were ruling over. But this is cool because God says, you have rejected me, so I will give you the rebellious Elohim to rule over you as you go and spread apart about the earth. And so ever since the Tower of Babel, there have been fallen Elohim ruling over all the nations. And it talks about that in the New Testament. We'll get to it. But God says, I will make one nation for myself. So all the rebellious nations, rebellious Elohim ruling over them, and then God says, but I will make one nation, and I will rule over it. And this he created, Yisrael. So ever since Genesis 12, with the Abrahamic covenant, there's all the nations, and then there's one. All the nations ruled by fallen angels, and then there's the one. Now this is why all the nations of the world have to get blessed through the one. Because this one is the holy nation. And the only way the other nations will ever get redeemed is to go through the one nation that God created for himself. And through this we know the Abrahamic covenant goes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Ben David. So, son of David, right? And so this is the cool thing. And all these ancient writings all say Ben Elohim. And it was never changed to sons of Israel until later. And nobody really knows why it gets translated sons of Israel. Except the next verse says, so the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is allotted inheritance. So it goes to Israel, but not in the previous verse for the nations. Israel, of course, is the Lord's portion. Okay, so isn't that something? Now you see how you have world history, and why the Jew has always been persecuted is because everybody is under the influence of fallen Elohim in all the nations of the world except Israel. But Israel, of course, still is free will. And so they have their ups and downs, but the final story will be the redemption of Israel brings the redemption of the universe. Okay, so it's cool stuff, I think. And so this is why Psalm 82, God is judging these small Elohim people because they corrupted the nations. And we know them as principalities and powers and all this stuff that is quoted in the New Testament. These are the Elohim, small e, from the days of old. Where am I? Does anybody know where I am? So from that history until now, it's still the same story. We have the nations and we have Israel, okay? So when it was time for Israel then to possess the land, the first part of the Abrahamic covenant, I will give you the land, all main, the land, Haaretz. Do you remember why the Israelites said no? The bad report, the 10, is because they were Democrats. Sorry, I'm trying to get through this, you know. It's just hard for me. Goodness gracious. No, they said we can't take the land because it's filled with giants. Nephilim. So we have the same fight still going on as Israel enters the land. We have the giants again. The Anakim, the Rephaim, there's a whole bunch of different words here. Genesis 6:4, remember, says they were Nephilim were the giants of old before and after the flood. So how can they be after the flood? Well, some people say, well, it wasn't a global flood. It's a little ridiculous, okay? And it violates the literal reading of the account. The only answer is, the sin continued after the flood. That's the answer. And still could in our last days, which may be why we should look at this stuff. In Numbers 13:31, it says, we were like grasshoppers, but the giants were killed by the Israelites after the 40 years in the wilderness, the 40-year sin for not going in and killing the giants. Then the Israelites did go under Joshua and Caleb, and Joshua and Caleb were giant killers. And they killed the giants. Amos 2, verse 9, the Amorites and the Anakites, which are both references to the Nephilim. In Joshua 12, 4 through 5, it says, Og, the Rephaim. That is a Nephilim word. And he is from Mount Hermon. That's where they come down. That's where the access point to the earth is over Mount Hermon. First Enoch says Hermon is where the Elohim came down in Genesis 6. Hermon is Hermon. And what does Hermon come from if you look in Strong's? Hermon is 2768. Back up 5 points and you get Cherim. So Hermon comes from the word Cherim. You know what Cherim word is in Hebrew, it's devoted to destruction word. Hermon means devoted to destruction. And that's exactly what happens with the fallen angels that come. They are to be devoted to destruction. And this is what happens in the conquest in Joshua when they had to destroy, completely destroy cities. It's because they were full of Nephilim. Devoted to destruction. The conquest by Joshua was to do this to the Nephilim. It's like the flood part two. And so when you read Joshua, it's very violent and it's very sad because the Israelites are told you have to kill everybody. Men, women, children, and they do. But when you realize that it's a corrupted entity of fallen angel mixed with man, that it reads to you a little bit different. It is very bad entities that they were told to wipe out. So that helps us a little bit. Ridding the land of the Elohim bloodlines. But Israel, you know, they have their free will, and so it goes up and down through Israel's history, you know. So the only way it'll be fully realized, this redemption, is by the second man, Adam, to show up. And that is Yeshua HaMashiach when the Messiah comes. And the son of David, and then only when he comes. And when he comes, he is called Gibor. Isaiah 9:6. El Gibor. God, the mighty warrior. Not almighty God. El is mighty God. Gibor is warrior. He comes as a mighty warrior and cleans this mess up. Amen. So all the nations will serve Israel in God's nation and as God's nation and the King of Israel, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. So now we can stop somewhere. Glory to God. In Isaiah 24:21, in that day Hashem will punish the powers in heaven above and the kings on earth below. And so this is back to Psalm 82 where we started, a judgment on the fallen Elohim, small e, and mankind that follows him. And he will judge the Elohim, and it says, you will die like mere man. And so this will be the judgment coming for them. And then it says, all the nations will become God's inheritance. And so you have the complete restoration and salvation of earth. As I will say, the universe, okay? So that's where we can stop. And we'll have one more message next week because there's a whole bunch of stuff in the Breed Heart of Shaw that I want to go over. Like, what does the gates of hell really mean? And it's back to this story. And the transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, what's the Mount of Transfiguration about? You get a bigger world view seeing it through these lenses. And so we'll have to look at that next week and finish this up. Amen. And then we'll be on to something else, right? And you said, amen. Hurry up. Yes. Hallelujah. It's interesting stuff, and it's true stuff. It's Bible stuff, and so it's just hard. The most precious thing in my life, spiritually speaking, is the anointing to Bible teach, and I actually have fear in me that it would go away, and I would never want that to happen. I plan on teaching for another couple decades if the world lasts that long. So when I get on this, I look for how can this be anointed? And so, you know, I just have that concern. But I appreciate you all staying here and listening and being students of the Word of God. Amen. And I pray that the anointing will increase in me and in you and never decrease. And that even with the eschatology of these last days, as Daniel said, it was sealed up until the last days. And so here are the days where the Bible is being opened up to us like never before. And so we need to be in the book, but it takes the anointing for it to work. And it takes the Holy Spirit. And so this is our greatest treasure as we go into these last days is the Ruach HaKodesh and how precious a gift it is that we can be indwelt by God and that we can be in relationship by the Holy Spirit and with the anointing. The anointing is for the doing and the ministry and all this. And so anyway, I just want to say thank you all for who you are. Yavarekaka Adonai Vishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunecha. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka. For Yosaim Lakha Shalom Bashem Yeshua Hamashiach Sarha Shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.